season. We've got everything here as we're getting ready for the kids and their play that's coming next week. And so we want them to be able to practice. And so it's good to mix things up a little bit. Can anybody say amen to that? That's right. That's right. Sandy said amen. I don't know if that's good or not. She might be talking about husbands. No, I'm just kidding. Children's Church. Thank you, Elena. Children's Church. Y'all, you involved in Children's Church. She wanted to get out of here. She didn't want to listen to me, did she? Yeah, thanks a lot. Amen. Amen. So blessed. Thank you. Thank you, Scott and Jackie, for that. Thank you. Well, turning your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, as we're entering into the last chapter of this great book. And I tell you what, James is tough, tough as goat guts, as we would say here. He's tough. He don't pull any punches. He's straight to the point. And last week, if you remember, we were talking about, or the last time that we spoke out of James, he was talking about how when we make our plans, he was talking about how we plan, we should always include the Lord in what we do and where we go. And if you remember the old Deo Volente, which means if the Lord wills, I got taught that you can't say, yes, Paul, I see you shaking your head. Paul's sister told me, listen, she was a Latin major. She said, you can't say Volente. They don't say V in Latin. They say Volente. So Deo Volente, right? And that means if the Lord wills. And we should take that approach in everything that we do. If the Lord wills, he allows us to do that. And he was talking about people that were making plans. If you remember, at the end of chapter 4, he was talking about them going into the city and making profit, business plan. And if you remember, I recall he was saying, nothing wrong, business, doing good business, making your plans. But when we exclude the Lord in that, and he just continues on when he goes into chapter 5, and they're actually really tied together when he gets at the top. And I titled the lesson today as, Are You a Greedy Person? Are you a greedy person? And that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. You know, we live in a very greedy culture, though, do we not? And if we're not careful, I can see it here. We're all guilty at some times of being greedy. You say, what do you mean? Well, we'll see that. We'll see it fleshed out as we're going through our lesson today. But I was thinking about how our God puts things together in our Sunday school lesson when it was talking about Edom and how they were arrogant and lifted up and how they looked down on Jerusalem and they were glad to see Jerusalem fail and all these things and how God just brings these lessons and how he ties them all together. Aren't you glad we serve a God that's like that? And he can help us right where we're at. And so let's stand and turn to your Bibles, James chapter 5. 1 through 6, and we'll read God's word before we get started. James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. The book of James says, Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers you mowed that mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reaper have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And you have lived in the earth in pleasures and luxuries, and you have fattened your heart as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for just a little while, just a short while, will you please come and be with us? Hide us behind the cross. Lord, may your word go forth. May you touch hearts. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. You know, there's nothing that reveals a person's heart more than money and material. James is getting straight at that today. Material gain, material money, things that we have, possessions. You know, we like our things here in America. We do. We all do. If we're guilty, we can't. If we say we don't, something's wrong. We're not being honest with ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that either. Nothing wrong with liking things as long as things don't have a hold of you and the attitude that you have towards them. Why is that? James is going to show us that. These fleeting, transitory things that if we're not careful, our whole life is caught up in just those things. And James is speaking against that today because they were rich people. Understand that when this book was written to the church, it was a huge dearth. It was a time of great poverty, and we can see James has spoken, already spoken to it several times about how the rich were getting rich and the poor were getting poor. And so there was no middle class, by the way. It was just these extremes. And so James saw in his culture this socioeconomic void between the two, and how he was trying to reach out and say, you know, there's something's not right about that. And we can all say that. Well, our lesson today, our Sunday school lesson, keep going back to that, was about compassion and how we should have be a compassionate people and have compassion on those that are less fortunate. I want you to know something. If you get outside America very long, you realize just how rich that we are. I'm going to tell you, our poorest people are rich compared to a lot of the world. Most of the world lives on a dollar, just a dollar a month. Try that on. I mean, seriously, you can't even comprehend the poverty that's out there. And once you get outside of America, you see it and you realize just how blessed that we truly are, and how these blessings should, you know, it should always bring compassion upon us to help others. And so Matthew 6 is where Jesus said, "Don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where thieves do not break in and steal." Because it says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You know, many of us profess Christ, but if we're not careful, we'll invalidate what we profess by what we hold on to and what we put first in our life. The only thing that will live for eternity is men and women, boys and girls. And if we're not careful, we spend all our time trying to amass things, and we miss out on the greatest treasure of all, and that's people that God puts in your path every day. People that He puts and has you just happen to run into, and if you're not careful, you'll miss the opportunity to reach out in love and compassion for a lost world that's all around us. And so James is going to show and speak to that today. You know what the Bible says? Does the Bible say that the money is the root of all evil? No, it doesn't. That says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's 1 Timothy 6:10. And so James, we constantly need to examine ourselves to see if greed has crept into our life. And I want us to see in today's lessons some characteristics of being greedy. First is hoarding treasures. Look at verses 1 through 3 where it says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last day." This is the idea of hoarding, heaping up. Never have enough. Never be satisfied. Do you realize that's one of the things that the richest people, and they've been interviewed and say, "Well, how do you feel if I just had one more dollar?" You know, it's never enough. It's never that idea of hoarding up things. And James is letting us know, you know, God entrusts us as believers with riches and material things for a purpose. Well, first we know that 1 Timothy 5:8 says we're to provide for our families. We're to take care and provide for our families. That's something that's biblical. We can use funds to win the lost in Luke 16:9. We should use it in God's ministry and we should be all a part of reaching lost people, just like our offerings with Annie Armstrong and our Lottie Moon and all those things that go towards these funds that help missionaries take the gospel around the world. That's a good thing. That's a biblical thing. And then care for those in need, Galatians 2:10. This is a godly giving church. And Donnie, you talked about that as far as when people have needs. And they run, you come in and you help. And when people have surgeries, you fix them meals and all these things. And I've seen you do that time and time again, and I applaud you for that. That's what the church should be about. The church should be about helping the community and the people that are less fortunate. And James is saying, you know, these rich people that he's seeing here, he's not seeing that in their lives. And he's speaking against that. We're never to amass fortunes because, you know what? We just stash it away for what? What's it for? And what do we use it for? Is it all right to save? I'm not talking about being using your good common sense and saving and investing and all these things. He's not speaking against that. He's talking about hoarding, amassing. You remember the parable in Luke 12 of the the guy that his gardens were blessed. You remember everything that he had there. The rich fool is what the parable was called, and he had had everything, and just his gardens prospered, all his crops. And he said, "What am I going to do? I don't have enough barns to store all my crops in." What did he say? "I know. I'll tear them down and I'll build bigger barns that I can store it." I mean, that's really, if we're not careful, that's what greed does. It thinks, "Well, I'll just build bigger barns to store it more." And Jesus said, "You're a fool, because tonight your life will be required of you." He said, in other words, when you get to the end of the life of your life, who's going to get it? Who's it going to be left to? Those kind of things. And so we need to think about this, and James is speaking towards that, to just hoarding up in contrary to what God's will is and what he wants you to do. And so he talks about, look, three things that he talks about. James says that wealth and how it was valued in his days. First, he says riches. And he's referring to wealth in general. But he's also, because he says that it's corrupted or rotted, it could be referring to foodstuffs, just like we was talking about the rich fool with the barns, hoarding food while others are doing without. Do you realize, and you've heard me say this, before the sun goes down, this sun shining in this window right here, before it goes down tonight, 15,000 kids, not adults, but you can point your finger out and say, "Why didn't my kids will starve to death?" Starve to death. Something we don't even think about doing. When in fact, we think about where we're going to eat. We got a variety to choose from, and if those and the way we were blessed this year in our gardens, hired. How about the garden? Hit hired where he can hear me. How about those gardens, hired? Those green beans that the Lord blessed us with this year. Unbelievable that the cans of the green beans, and God blesses us with those things. And if we're not careful, there are people that are going without all around us. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about, you know, amassing these things, and we don't even think about a starving world around us. There's people right here in our community, in our larger community, Ashe County, that, and we're involved with helping the kids at the school, and so thankful for that. And we're involved with Ashe Really Cares and helping people that are without. But you know, there's a lot of people that could care less. Are we one of those people? And James said that's greediness. It's showing us these riches that he's talking about. And then he says garments. They go, "Oh, be careful, David, while you're wearing a new suit today. I'd rather be wearing overalls, just for the record, okay? And if y'all would let me, I would." It was that woman. No. But I'm just talking about, he's talking about, look what he says. There's nothing wrong with having clothes. I'm not talking about that. But it's getting caught up to where, look, what does he say? It refers to the outer garment or the robes or the mantles that they wore in that time. And it's not all, but it says it's moth food. They've got so many, they're feeding the moths. They're not being used. And people were cold. Remember, it's people were laying around. They didn't have food. They didn't have clothing. And James is pointing at this greedy rich person. He said, "You're just humping it up, and you got more clothes, and people are freezing, and they don't have this." James said, "You're feeding the moths. It shouldn't be that way. It's corrupted." He's using those words. Think about corrupted or rotten and moth eating. He's showing that they have this idea of hoarding these treasures to where it's just being wasted. It's wasted. And then he goes on to say gold and silver. And we understand those are precious metals even today. And they're supposed to be long-lasting commodities. But look what he says. They're corroded. They're rusted. They're useless. James said, "You're just hoarding. You're just piling it up. What's the purpose? What's the purpose in that?" The question is, can you ever get enough when you're in that routine and that mindset? Do we ever have compassion on those around us? It's all about us, and you talked about turning in. You know, when we turn in on ourselves, and that works as a family or church or as a nation, when we turn in on ourselves and it's all about us, you never get enough. It's always about, and if we're not careful, we gauge on how successful we are by what we have, do we not? If we get something nice, and man, you get your brand new Chevrolet truck, you want to drive up and want everybody to see it, right? I'll be a Chevrolet, huh? Barry, I hear you laughing. You're laughing, right? No, but I'm serious. If we're not careful, we put so much stock in material things. And we say that's what makes us successful. What does God say makes a man or a woman successful. And it's not what they have or a big house or fancy cars or nice clothes or all the food you need, but it's obedience unto God. Some of the poorest people I have ever met in my life were rich beyond measure with the things of God. They didn't care. The happiest, the smilingest. I mean, it's unbelievable. Why? Because they had Christ and they had God. And they were so rich. And yet, on the other side of that, some of the wealthiest people that had the most money that God had poured all, they were also blessed because they were a channel that God was using. They couldn't make enough money. Why? Because they were using it and giving it to God and giving it to others. So we got both streams. James is not saying, oh, it's wrong to be rich or to have things. He's saying it's wrong for things to have you. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. And so he's getting on them right here about hoarding. Nothing wrong with saving, investing, being smart, but hoarding, there's a big difference. There are even shows. You see the shows, the hoarders and all that. There'll be some people that you can't even get through the house, right? They're just stacked up, and that whole idea of, and so he's saying, don't hoard, don't do these things. Greed is using money in the wrong way. Listen to this, are you saving and investing as a way to bring honor and glory to God? Or are you saving and investing as a way to bring comfort and ease to yourself? Whoa, that's a big difference. I'm going to say that again. Are you saving and investing as a way to bring honor and glory to God? Or are you saving and investing in a way just to bring comfort and ease to yourself? That separates. That's what James is saying. Are your purposes God-centered or self-centered? James says that hoarding will be a witness against those who do it. If wealth and pleasure is your God on earth, he said, hell will be your home when you leave this world. There's only one God. The material and money is not it. He said, if that's all it's about, he said, that's where you'll end up. And so James is really reaching out to these people and trying to pull them out of that lifestyle and tell them, is God what we're about? Is that the center of our lives? So hoarding treasure, not only that characteristic of being greedy, but defrauding others. Look at verse 4. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. He's talking about defrauding people. You know, we all know what it is to work and earn wages. In the socioeconomic climate of Israel, they were day laborers. Well, they work one day, and guess what? At the end of that day, you paid that, or there was a family waiting at home where dad worked, and he got paid that day, and he brought food home for them to live off of. Can you imagine this rich person? This guy was working, but he wasn't paying him. And he said, the cries of those people are coming up to me. Do you know that fraud, we all know what fraud swindle is. How many of us have got calls or emails, and if it's too good to be true, what is it? It's too good to be true, okay? And there's always somebody, I don't know about you, but overseas, that there's some family that's got millions of dollars that want me to have it if I'll just get a hold of them. I don't know how many kings and princesses have died and got a hold of me and wanted me to have their inheritance. It's amazing. You answer the phone, really. And Sandy, somebody called the other day, right? And it's like, ooh, that sounds, don't give them no information. You get those calls, these people. Do you know that credit card fraud alone is $190 billion annually? $190 billion. Identity theft? I'm saying, who in the world wants to steal this identity, right? But, I mean, it's a way of life in America anymore. And we have to be on guard for those things. And James said, fraud, this is another indication when we don't make our money honestly. Now, I'm telling you, the people in the mountains, they're good people, and they work hard, and they want to be known for honesty. Can you've been around people that don't make their money honestly, right? People that owe people money that they don't pay you and all those things, that's dishonest. Nobody likes that. James said, that's fraud. This is a person that got rich off of somebody else's labor that wouldn't pay. Leviticus 19:35-36 says, listen, you shall do no injustice in judgment. In the measurement of length, weight, or volume, you shall have honest scales, honest weight, an honest ephah, an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. This is Leviticus, and God set that standard. You know what he's saying? Be honest. Be honest in your dealing. You remember when a handshake used to be all you had to get? You didn't have to sign your life away. Why? Because people were honest, and they shook hands, and it should always be that way. You say, well, here's the deal. You've got to be careful, because we're in tax season. And really, the survey says that more Christians cheat on their taxes than anything else. We should be honest people, honest before the Lord. Now, you cannot rationalize and say, they owe me this. They shouldn't have done that. They use any excuse in the world, and that's what the world does. But we're to be honest before God. Why? Because he's called us to a standard that's set apart, that's separate from the rest of the world. We should be honest in our dealings with others. And so this defrauding, you should be, you know what, you shouldn't be that person where people don't know if you're going to be right up front with them or not. There's no room for that. Deuteronomy 25:16 says, for all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously, listen to this, are an abomination to the Lord your God. Wow, and some of the lists that he makes, he puts sorcery and witchcraft, all these things, and these things of abomination, homosexuality, abomination. He talks about defrauding others, being dishonest. It's an abomination. That's in the same category. We don't have no problem pointing out some things, but if we're not honest, God, that's abomination to him. It's defrauding others. They were exploiting. He said the laborers who have mowed your field. They've worked for you. They've earned what they've worked for. And he said, you've kept back their money in fraud. And I like what James says, the cry that's cried out. Where did the cry go to? Who's hearing it? God. That's what it says. And it's reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. And that word is actually in Hebrew, the host, Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies. The Lord Almighty is what it means. Their cries have reached out. You know, God hears the cries of these people that are being done wrong. He's the God of the Almighty, the God of hosts. This fraud of the wicked rich cries out to God. He sees what's happening. They can't hide it. It shouts to the Lord, and he takes notice. That's the last thing that these rich, wicked rich people want to happen. To fall in the hands of an angry God. But he says, I'm taking notice. I hear their cries. God hears the oppressed. God hears the cries of 15,000 kids that's going to starve to death. He hears that. Somebody's going to have to pay. We can turn our back on it. We can act like it doesn't happen. But you know what? When they turn on the news and what we watch is what they think entertains us, all the things that's going on. But things like that are never mentioned. Never hear about it. Why? Because we have to come face to face with it and ask God, who's guilty of that? We all are when it goes on and we don't do anything about it. A frightening judgment awaits those who unjustly hoard the wealth and they rob from the poor. They're victims. This is not a Robin Hood. Rob from the rich, give to the poor. It's not right to rob anytime, by the way. This is a people robbing from the poor and getting richer. Their victims will cry out for justice to the righteous judge, and he will not disappoint them. I promise you this, God is a just God. And any time that you're trying to figure out, well, I wonder how that works, how this works, that person, whether they pay for this or that, God is just. That means he's righteous, and he's holy, and he's just, and nobody will get away with anything that they think they're getting away with. Nobody. We all stand and give an account before a holy, righteous, just God. That's God. Well, not we have hoarding treasure, defrauding others, but lastly, look at this. And here's the root of the problem, indulging selfishly. Look at verses 5 and 6. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Does God want us to live without pleasure or nice things? That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. The things, again, are not the problem. It's our attitude towards that. And James is saying, look, you have lived on this earth in pleasure and luxury. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, don't you? What was that about when Jesus was talking about where Lazarus, he laid on the door of the rich man's steps and he begged for bread for Lazarus or from the rich man? He never got anything, did it? But it said they both died, and it said the poor man went to be with Abraham, the bosom of Abraham, the rich man in hell looked up, did he not? And he said, oh, please have Lazarus just to come and touch his finger to my lip with some water, and it just shows the difference in misery of what a person does. You know, it's sad when a rich person's only heaven is here on earth. Is this heaven? But that's all that awaits whenever you amass luxury and pleasure and all these things. When that is all you're about, this is your only heaven. That's sad, is it not? They're increasing their wealth through robbery and hoarding. And they've upset the Lord God of heaven. And this idea of luxury, it's actually in the New Testament, only used here in the New Testament. It means softness. Oh, we like it soft, don't we? Like it easy. It's about pleasure, living life to please himself. James condemns the wicked rich for living in soft, extravagant luxury at the expense of others. It's all right to have things. Things, but not at the expense of other people. When other people around you are doing without, when other people around you are hurting. He said, that's luxury. We lack luxury if we're not careful. We lack the good, soft things, the pleasurable things become our life. Those with money frequently close their eyes to the needs of others and the work of the Lord, living solely to gratify the selfish, sinful desires. And then he goes on to say, you have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. I had to call Jeff. I said, Jeff, did I not, Jeff? Tell me about fattening up a beef cow, because that's what it's talking about. Most of you guys, a lot of you have cows, and you know about that. He said, you mean you feed her some grain, got a lot of corn in it, right? You put her up where she ain't doing a lot, or you make the area real good so you get her real good and fat. He said, that's what it's like fattening up a beef cow. That's all right for the slaughterhouse, but that ain't good for God's house, okay? And that's what he said. It's like that. Just fattening your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Packing it up. Makes for some good butcher meat. Boy, sure don't make it. Makes for lousy Christian living. James said, that's what it's like. Make your hearts fat and happy. Here's my question to you. How are we nourishing our hearts? What do we nourish our hearts with? You say, what are you talking about? What is it that nourishes your heart? Are we putting the things of the world? Are we nourishing the things of the world in our heart? It makes us fat in the things of the world. Are we breaking our hearts, nourishing our hearts with the things of God? Are we nourishing our... Here's the deal. What are we putting in? What are we eating on? What are we feeding on? What are we putting into our lives? If somebody picked you out of the crowd, could they pick you out? And could you be arrested for being a Christian? For being convicted. How about being convicted for being a Christian? Could they find enough evidence in your life that you could be convicted for being a follower of Christ? Something for us to think about, isn't it? If they put you on a stand, what was it they say about your life? What was it if you became before a judge of your peers or a jury of your peers? What would they say about your life if you were being convicted as a Christian? Would you be convicted or would you say, oh, no, let him go. That's bogus. His life don't line up with the things of God. They line up with the things of the world. He's one of us. James is talking about that attitude, that mindset. It's all about us, all about our pleasures. He says, you have, and he goes on, listen to what it says, you have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. This is the final progression of a downward spiral, of this spiral of the rich, the wicked rich. They were ruthlessly pursued by wealth. It was all about making their money. They didn't care who they had to kill or what they had to do. And it's really, he's talking about the justice system. The implication is that the wicked rich were using the courts to judicially condemn and murder. Boy, I tell you what, if you ever go into your court system as a good, godly, upright person, then it'll chew you up and spit you out. Anybody that's ever had the dealings with it, and you try to do by what's right, but if you got enough money, you can get out of anything. That's right. You can get out of anything. That's the court system he's talking about. You can do whatever you want because, why? You got enough money to get out of anything. Is that not where we live today? You can get by. Think of the people, high-profile people, and the things that they've done. But because they had enough money in the lawyers and they could go through the gaps, they could work the judicial system, got out of it. That's what James is talking about. The just, the righteous man, someone who is morally upright. James said, man, they're using this system, this judicial system, to better their ways. You can't win against them. Why? Because it's all about the money. They know how to work the system. It's all about their self. Wealth may be a blessing, a gift from God, bringing the opportunity to do good, but it can only be true to those who are rich in faith towards God also. If wealth is the source of blessing and not condemnation, it must not be uselessly hoarded, unjustly gained, and selfishly, indulgently spent. I can tell you what your God is if you show me your checkbook. Show me your checkbook, I'll show you what your God is. James is saying, don't be that type of person. Don't allow greed. And it's a constant battle in the culture that you live in, by the way. You guys are great, loving, godly people. When something's needed within this church family, you step up to the plate, and I appreciate that so much. We live in a day that in our world is spiraling downward, and this is what comes out of it many times: greed, hoarding, self-indulgence, pleasures is what we live for. If you're not careful, sometimes we allow the lines to cross. Don't ever do that. God, one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return, and we're all going to give an account. And He's not going to ask you what you made. He's not going to ask you what your ROI was. He's not going to ask you how many houses you had, where you lived, how much land you had. He's going to ask you, what did you do for me? And that's all that's going to stand, and that's all that's going to matter. When Job said, naked I came into this world, naked I shall return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter for a man like Job that lost everything. He didn't lose the Lord, did he? Because when he got shaken all the way down to the bottom, the thing that was left was the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lost everything he had, even 10 kids. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we say that today? Well, applications. You guys will be coming forward and playing. And Gene, if you're going to sing, listen to these applications, and we'll be done. Are you using what the Lord has entrusted you to bring Him glory? Are you using what God's given you to bring Him glory or to bring yourself glory? Something for us to think about. Are you upright and just in all your dealings? Are you a person known for your word that you can be trusted? And lastly, how selfish are you with the things you have? How selfish are you with the things that you have? Let's all stand to our feet as the ladies begin to play. I want us to think about this. You might be here today, and you say, well, you know what, that message wasn't about salvation. Oh, I tend to disagree, brother. If you're saved and you have the Lord Jesus Christ and He's Lord of your life, you know what? Everything's in line. But if you look at your heart, you know there's not peace. You've never came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's your day. Come forward right now. It might be that the Lord says, you know what, Lord? I've got caught up, and yes, sometimes I lose my focus on what's important. Come tell the Lord. Whatever He's doing in your life, don't be disobedient to Him right now as we sing. If you have a need, maybe something's weighing on your heart, give it to the Lord. I hope you've received your sight.
life, he changes you. A man and a woman. So thankful for what God has done. The only reason I'm standing here before you, Pastor, and sometimes I can't get over that, because that he could save somebody like myself, and if you only knew where I come from. And it's all the Lord. It's all the Lord. Can't take any credit. So thankful for him. Listen, tonight, 5 o'clock, Honduras, the Arkansas team meeting, and at 6, we'll have Bible study, finger food, good fellowship, good time. Listen, I love you guys. I hope you have a good afternoon. Come back tonight. Spend time with us. And if there's anything I can ever help you with, please, please come and see me. And there's nothing that's more important to me to see you grow in grace and knowledge and know that you're saved and know that you're walking the right path. So I love you. Leave, will you close us in prayer, please?